giant.
Monster Bullshit is the most listened to podcast in the country.
Well, here we are in Vietnam.
This is crazy. This war is insane. I can't believe this is going on right now.
You can make a movie about it when your son is born, Major Ford Coppola.
Get down!
And more fun jokes like that to come on this program. Welcome back to Giant Monster BS. If you're a first-time listener, welcome. If you're a last-time listener, goodbye.
Yeah.
My name is Grattan Conwell. I'm host.
And I'm guest Matthew Fields. And I'm unassociated guest Matthew Fields.
You are undisputed guest.
Yeah.
77 episodes running.
Number one.
So yeah, I'd just like to welcome Matt back. Thanks for joining us.
Thanks for welcoming me.
So we watched Kong Skull Island from... of 2017.
Yeah.
How many times have you seen this?
I was just about to ask you the same question. I've seen this once before this. I will never watch it again. How about you? You've put it on a few times, I feel like.
I tried to watch it the other day just because I knew this was coming up, and I have this on 4K, and I won't go. That's a rabbit hole I can dive down, which I won't. But this was the first 4K movie I ever bought,
mm-hmm.
and it is also one of my most prone-to-problem 4K discs.
Really?
Yeah. This and my copy of the original Blade Runner are unplayable.
Was this not on... Did we watch the 4K?
We watched the Blu-ray.
Okay. All right.
But the Blu-ray's fine. I've never had a problem with a Blu-ray disc. I'll try to stay away from that topic because I've owned this movie. This was the first 4K movie I ever bought, and we had to watch the Blu-ray of it, which was thankfully included with the 4K copy that I've had for years, just in case it breaks. But we saw this in IMAX when it came out.
IMAX
together,
3D.
Yeah, IMAX 3D, the only way.
The only way to
That's
experience.
True IMAX.
Yeah.
When you got the sunglasses on.
Yeah, the little recyclable sunglasses.
So when we saw this, I remember, so we saw 2014, not together.
Yeah.
We both enjoyed it. Then we started hanging out, established that we had a long-running appreciation for giant monster movies. Went together to see Shin Godzilla because we were excited about that. Didn't like Shin Godzilla very much.
Mm.
And then this came out, and I remember both of us were like, I remember having conversations about it. And, you know, King Kong movie set during the Vietnam War? That sounds like a really cool idea.
Mm-hmm. Interesting angle, because all of it's been... Nobody's put a spin on it they have with like the they made it like modern with the one with Jeff Bridges or whatever.
Yeah.
But you know, cool.
Seems different. Like a good jumping off point. And I remembered hearing that I think the director Jordan Vogt Roberts.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know how to pronounce his name. His middle name's Vought. Like Vogt.
I guess I'd say Vogt or Vought. I don't know. Who cares?
But he said something like he was given a draft of the script, and I don't remember what the original was like, but he said that he really didn't like it and insisted that it be set during the Vietnam War.
Mm.
And I liked the idea that a director was coming in with a strong enough vision and a unique idea.
Mm-hmm.
And just the idea that somebody felt so strongly about a vision for one of these that he would like force a rewrite.
Mm-hmm.
Made me really excited at the idea. And then, you know, I like the idea that, okay, so we're going to have this eventual crossover of King Kong and Godzilla. And so we'd need to establish King Kong as a part of the pre-established Godzilla thing. So the King Kong movie is a Godzilla prequel. And I was like, okay. And then stuff started coming out, you know, images, and it's like, oh, like they're for some reason taking a ton of inspiration from Apocalypse Now.
Yeah.
And it's like, oh, it looks like a really like intense action movie. Like they're doing slow-mo, yeah, and like these
stylized
quick zooms, and like, and it had like a stacked cast, you know, like they kept in, you know,
mm-hmm.
Sam Jackson,
fucking tons
John
of
C.
people.
Reilly, John Goodman,
Brie Larson, Tom Hiddleston. Crazy. Yeah, just like this huge cast, and even like minor characters are played by like pretty prominent like character actors,
mm-hmm.
you know. And yeah, it's like suddenly, it's like just got this like very stark, stylized, saturated look.
Yeah.
And it's like, it's just a sensibility entirely separate from the previous movie, mm-hmm. which is like, you know, its lack of style like that.
Mm-hmm.
Like in that sense of like, you know, these big, you know, just these like very saturated, the sunset, you know, which is a good, it's probably one of the better images in the movie. Yeah. I mean, it's the whole like sunset image of King mm-hmm. Kong standing there is like, I don't know. It's one of the stronger images I'd say in
yeah.
the movie, but still it's just like very far removed to me from the style and like what set 2014 apart from like every other big blockbuster at the time.
Yeah. I mean, at the time, the 2014 Godzilla movie came out, and then right after they were like, it's confirmed it's getting sequels. And then the, you know, at past a certain point, they're like King Kong, they're going to do a King Kong thing.
Mm-hmm.
And so pretty quickly the MonsterVerse
was born. Yeah.
And people were like, okay, you know, there's this going to be a series, you know, kind of like Marvel, just connected things.
Yeah.
And I was like, okay, sounds cool. I'm down for a series of movies that are similar in style and tone to the 2014 movie. I think that is of good enough quality to sustain 3 or 4 movies.
Maybe.
And, you know, right off the bat when they started showing shit for this, it's like, oh, so they're not even trying to make it look like that.
But it's just totally, yeah.
We'll hold off judgment until we see the movie. And then we saw the movie.
We're like, it's okay.
Yeah.
I really didn't.
Same thing with Shin Godzilla. Like, I didn't want to come out and just be like, that was bad. You know,
yeah.
I think I was pretty honest. I was just like, you know, there were a lot of things I wasn't crazy about.
Yeah.
But
yeah, this is especially egregious, I would say, past Shin Godzilla, the way that we were like, well, it was okay. Yeah, we were younger then.
Yeah,
but,
and also
it's embarrassing.
I would argue that this movie has way less integrity than Shin Godzilla.
Oh no, yeah, they're in two different leagues, I would say. This is like, I mean, I hate to be so dismissive of this movie,
mm-hmm.
but like, dude, there's really just not, what can you say about this? It's just like standard, you know, studio generated
garbage.
Yeah, it's just, you know, noise and color. And
you'll be angry to learn that many people consider this the best MonsterVerse movie.
Whatever, I don't care. That's stupid. It's not a good movie at all. I don't know. This is one of the worst to me, having just watched it.
Well,
I don't know.
We'll see how your tune changes by the time we finish.
I guess, yeah. Yeah, we'll see.
Because, I don't know, the way I always feel about these is, like, each time another one comes out, it was like,
yeah, bar set lower.
Yeah. It's just like, well, that last one was okay, and then the next one's like, well, geez, but that, you know, wasn't that bad.
Yeah.
So I don't feel too bad shitting about this. Yeah, I'm
shitting
about this
something.
Movie.
Yeah.
I don't feel bad about shitting on this movie because after it came out, CinemaSins,
I remember that,
did their normal thing.
Why is there a giant monkey?
Yeah, ding, there's a woman, whatever.
Yeah.
And the director like came out and he was like actually mad.
Was he mad? I thought he participated in the CinemaSins, didn't he?
He might have participated in something else.
Okay, never mind. Sorry.
I'm pretty sure. I don't. Maybe he was like involved in like the How It Should Have Ended or something. But okay. He like went on like a. I think it was a Twitter thing. But he was like actually mad.
That's crazy.
At CinemaSins, he was like, "You guys are. You don't know what it's like." I don't. He basically just showed his ass. It's like right. You know, the guy who got paid a big fat paycheck to make a multi-million dollar movie is crying about the guys making a YouTube video.
A channel that like is for like it's just for like normies and like you know I mean how why do you take CinemaSins seriously? You know your movie got okay reviews. I remember it was like a 77% or something on Rotten Tomatoes. Like it did fine. The posts from Twitter.com.
Okay, so I think he did like a live tweet of like he was watching the CinemaSins thing. So yeah, he said, Mystery Science Theater built something artful, endearing, and comedic on top of the foundation of other people's work. It had merit to itself. Things like CinemaSins simply suck the lifeblood of other people and are often just wrong about intent or how cinema works. It's terrible.
Damn. That's crazy that, I mean, CinemaSins does suck. Really bad.
But I mean, it goes without saying.
Yeah, it's like, why are you hurt by that? I mean, it's just, it's YouTube fucking noise. I mean, people barely listen to that. I mean, I don't know, whatever.
It's just one of those things like WatchMojo. It's just like self-perpetuating, you know, it just keeps going because people click on it and it just, whatever.
If AI isn't running like most of WatchMojo yet, it will be soon.
Mm-hmm.
And channels like that where it's just, you know, just put a program.
They just go.
Yeah, yeah. They're so schematic and whatever. It doesn't matter. But, so I don't feel too bad about shit. What other movies has this guy done? Has he done... I feel like I looked him up a while ago. I don't have my phone. Sorry. I'm just curious. This isn't for the podcast.
He's directed fucking nothing.
Bunch of whatever.
The Kings of Summer.
Mm.
It looks like that and a bunch of, like, short films.
Yeah, this movie, it's just, it's very, I don't know, you can just feel when you're watching it that there is no, there's nothing driving this, you know? Part of, I think, what drives the Godzilla from 2014 is generally just, like, its outlook, you know, its disposition of, you know, where it's putting people and these monsters or whatever, you know, and how people deal with disaster and struggling with things out of your control or whatever. And this is just like, I think this is primarily interested in like,
looking cool,
delivering exposition more than anything.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, like setting things up. And I think everything else besides that is like a byproduct, you know, it's like, well, while we're at it, we might as well make it look cool. Well, I've got this idea for a shot where Tom Hiddleston is slicing pterodactyls with a samurai sword, and it's just like, I don't know. It's nothing is propelling this movie. Mm-hmm. You know, it's like very just like whatever. Any given scene, you know, all these like great actors, you know, really fucking good cast, and it's just like you can tell that first of all with the script they have like nothing to do.
Yeah.
The script is like, what can you do with these lines? And then on top of that, I get the vibe that I don't know. I don't want to be that mean about the director, but it's like, I get the vibe that, you know, these actors are like, what am I supposed to be feeling? What am I supposed to be doing? You know, I just get this, you know, Sam Jackson, especially is like, you know, there's just shots where he's like standing. And it's just like, I feel like he is like, I don't know what I'm doing in the shot.
Yeah.
Like, you know, and it's like not his fault. Like, it's just like,
I think he knows what he's doing. What he's doing is making money.
Yeah. I'm glad he got paid.
Honestly, he's doing the best job out of any of them.
Probably.
Like,
I mean, he's
the
best.
He pulls that up. Like, he's on the phone and like, you can tell like, you know, it was just whoever giving the lines and they were going to add the guy on the phone in, in post. And he's like, you know, I'll get my men out there right now. You know, he's just like saying the blandest fucking nothing filler exposition dialogue. he comes way closer than any of these other actors to like getting that to seem like it's not that.
Yeah, yeah. Which
everybody else, John Goodman.
Yeah.
We need money for this operation because I swear monsters are real because I saw one back then and nobody else survived, but I did, and that is why we need to go here. Like
it's like I said, their primary role is to deliver information, you know? And then like, oh, while we're here, we might as well have characters. So I guess he would be like a crackpot or whatever. And he like,
you're telling me politicians and the United States government need a British secret services operative to guide you on a mission to an island that you haven't been to before. That's all the dialogue is like people just explaining.
It's
so you're the war photographer that has taken pictures of the war, but got an offer to be on Time Magazine, but is now covering this because she is intrigued at the prospect of doing something that has a little tinge of mystery.
Mm-hmm. It's all, you know, anything that's clever or anything. It's all just a byproduct of delivering information. It's just like, well, we sprinkled in a little bit of this, a little bit of that. You know, it's all like just, and you know, the camera's like moving around, motivated by nothing. You know, this is a string of fucking like set pieces that's like loosely connected, and even the set pieces are there's nothing drawing them together.
Mm-hmm.
Like in these sequences themselves,
they just spring up.
Yeah, they just spring up, and the camera's like flying around. There's no like central thing, like not even like I'm trying to stay alive,
mm-hmm.
or there's a thing I need to get, or there's a thing I need to do. There's
every
like,
5 minutes, it's a different motivation for a group of like 15 people to be going somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
It's just a like, lot oh, of those. Let's go here because we have to. Oh, now we're going here because
we got to reach an evac point by a time, you know, and it's just like, I don't care.
I hate, it's just another example of the exposition thing we're talking about, but John C. Reilly is probably the best part of this movie.
Probably. I think
I think a lot of people agree. I don't think that's a wild
He's always great. Take. He's always fun to watch.
And he just has like the most going on. Like everybody in this movie is just like, you are an archetype. It's like, you know, when you play a video game and you don't customize the character at all, you just play what the game gives you.
Yeah.
That's what everybody is.
It really is. Everybody's
Samuel L. Jackson is the stern
war
military
guy.
Colonel.
Mm-hmm.
John Goodman's the government guy, conspiracy guy.
Brie Larson is girl.
Woman with breasts.
Yes. And she's nice.
But John C. Reilly has like the most of like an actual story.
It's very
odd.
But
as soon as he comes out, he's like, well, my Japanese friend who was fighting against me in World War II should have lived to see this, but 20 years has passed and he is now gone and I am still here and I have made it home for myself with the natives.
Are the natives, and Kong was this and he was that, but if you do that, you know, and it's just like
instantly just starts launching
exposition.
Like a fucking Bethesda character.
Yeah, it's
the thieves broke into the university, the arcane universe, all in the same night.
It's honestly very strange that they like start the movie. First of all, that John C. Reilly is even here together with the rest of the movie is like really like what? Because it seems like one or the other. It's like, why is this story in this other story?
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's just strange to start out with that World War II thing. And it's like, you know, and 30 years later, and it's like, right. Yeah, I don't know. And then to have him come back, it's just a strange, I don't know. I just find it strange. And like, I guess he gets to launch into a bunch of exposition.
It does seem, what stands out to me watching this again is the fact that I think John Goodman's character is also supposed to be a World War II veteran. And he's there and there's like, they don't use that as an opportunity to like bridge those two storylines. It's not like you were there and saw something that I saw, or like
something.
Your presence here does something for my position. Like, it's just they're both World War II veterans and they have like no dialogue together.
Do they even see each other?
I don't know.
They might not even meet, honestly. It's hard to even talk about this movie because there's not. It's just like I can complain about how lame a bunch of this stuff is.
Mm-hmm.
It's a powerfully lame movie. I mean, imagine how much money was shelled out for these songs, all of this licensed music. You know, Black Sabbath, Creedence, Bowie, like all this stuff, you know, and it's just like, I don't know. It's just like, that's another thing where it's like, well, it is in the 70s, so we might as well play Iggy and the Stooges, you know? Oh, I guess we should probably play Paranoid for this, you know? And it's just like, what?
It started somewhere around here. I can tell you the genesis point. It's fucking Guardians of the Galaxy.
Yeah.
That started, I cannot stand it. It's a trend in fucking big budget Hollywood movies like this. But just like the carefree, like we're just going to play
tons of licensed
songs, you know, and none of them are ever played in their entirety. It's always just like a little snippet.
Mm-hmm.
And just like no artistic intent. It's just like we're going to throw these here because, there's some, there's like, you know, with this, it's the 70s.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I guess stuff like shit like the Mario Brothers movie, it doesn't even make any sense. They're playing like a bunch of 80s songs.
Yeah, they're playing like Aha when they go to Donkey Kong World. It's just unmotivated.
It's a trend. A trend, and this is like indulging in it, and it's like really, it's just, you roll your eyes at it.
Yeah, it's just like, why are you even playing? Like, you don't, I think what it is, it's like there's nothing driving the scene, and it's like you don't have an idea for the scene, so you just like sort of start playing the song, and you sort of feel like something's happening.
What's the Creedence song? Is it Run Through the Jungle, or what are they playing
Shit. I think they play two Creedence songs.
Yeah, you're right. There's one.
It's in the later.
They're like walking through like water, and then they just start playing that.
Yeah, they play Run Through the Jungle, I think.
I think that's the one I'm another thinking one. Of.
Yeah. They just sort of start showing the two like separated groups of people. Paranoid makes no sense. It doesn't. It's just like leads us in to this like chaotic, messy sequence, which even that's not done well. I get the vibe that they want this like cataclysmic moment, you know, where everything falls apart.
Mm-hmm.
Everyone's getting stranded, but they're like just indulging too much in like this glory.
Yeah.
Of in all these like glory shots of like King Kong, which, you know, some of it is like you do need to do that and this should be a big moment.
Mm-hmm.
And it's kind of a cool idea for that tree to come flying out of like the sunset. That's okay. You know, that's the most I can say. But after that, and it's like not like quickly paced enough and it's not chaotic enough.
Yeah.
It's just like, and like, you know, after like a minute, it's like, dude, is this still happening? And there's like, you were saying like how many fucking helicopters were there?
It's like a few helicopters take off. And I guess they do show a lot of the helicopters like in that storm sequence. There's a lot of them flying around. But King Kong knocks down like fucking 20 helicopters. And it's like, there were not that many guys.
There's no way. They kill so many people, and there's so many left over.
That's just a minor complaint in the grand scheme of things, but it's just when you're watching it, especially, you know, if you're not watching it for the first time, if you're watching it for the second time, it's like, dude, this fucking sucks.
Yeah, it's like really just, it's just all like noise, and it's because there's no characters involved. You're not like, oh no, Jim, you know,
all of these characters. I really don't like these like pale attempts at creating like military guys, you know, because they're trying to do Apocalypse Now, they're trying to do Full Metal Jacket,
they're basically copying a bunch of costumes too. They've got the guy with the red headband on. I can't remember if the kid, the younger guy who's like a surfer, I think he kind of dresses like that in Apocalypse Now, where he has like a bandana on at some point. I might be wrong, but yeah, it's the, sorry, go on.
But they're trying to do like the war movie thing of like, oh, we have all these guys and this guy's an asshole and this guy's neurotic and this guy's like sentimental. And
yeah,
it's just, it's all, first of all, the main problem is that this guy is like this guy. There were four writers credited. Whatever, wherever all this dialogue is coming from, it's like not a place of experience or expression. You know, it's just like, my idea is I am writing the smart-ass military guy right now, and he would probably say something like, yeah, I'm sure. Mm-hmm. And then this guy would say, I miss my son. You know, like,
yeah,
it's all like, it's just empty. It's hollow, and all these characters just come up. Like, there's this guy who's like the Lieutenant Dan character. He's just always kind of making that face like,
yeah, that stinky face. Yeah. He's good in other stuff.
He's great in Forrest Gump, but in this, you know, it's just they're all one note.
Yeah.
And the idea with the movie, I think, is like you have the stacked cast, and it's also like, you know, there's a lot going on with these characters physically, not like interpersonally.
No, yeah.
You know, it's just they're like they're going, things a lot are happening, yeah, yeah, and they're traveling and stuff. So I think the idea is that you want this to be like an ensemble, like actor-driven kind of thing where, you know, you give them all this dialogue and then they bring it to life, but there's nothing. There's no spark that gets this going. It's just all like propped up. We're going to get who the fuck ever in these costumes and we're just going to go.
It's, yeah. I mean, there's no idea. There's no... The purpose of this movie is to get a computer-generated monkey to, like, fight some stuff and break some stuff.
Which is the best-looking stuff. Yeah. I was thinking about it this time, and a lot of my problems with the movie, A, it's too long. You know, it could be just as soulless and just as meaningless, and it could be half an hour shorter, and I'd be like, not a terrible movie.
I wouldn't have noticed if you cut 15 to 30 minutes. I mean,
but it is long, and it lingers, and... What I noticed, like, King Kong shows up in the beginning. Well, there's like the, you know, he shows up during the flashback World War II scene, which I'm not counting, but he shows up, attacks the helicopters, goes away, comes back, eats an octopus, goes away, fights the big monster at the end and goes away. And all of that feels so, so, so disconnected to what's actually going on with these people. And they try with the Sam Jackson, like, I want to kill that thing.
Yeah.
Which is, you know, they're trying, but I just, in my opinion, that's not a good idea, is having a guy who's like, we lost Vietnam, but I want to kill this monkey because of it.
It's like, I can see something with an idea like that maybe working,
mm-hmm.
but, you know, because it's like the very basic idea, it's like this guy wants conflict or, you know, whatever, you know,
he derives purpose from
fighting, you know, and you know, but that doesn't come through. It does not come through. It comes through as like, we lost Vietnam, but I'm gonna beat this monkey.
Yeah.
You know, I remember shortly after seeing this, you were saying it would have been a lot cooler if but yeah, it does feel very disconnected. There's a point at towards like around the end of second, beginning of third act, where I realized, like, where the fuck is King Kong? We haven't seen King Kong in like half an hour, I feel like, mm-hmm. you know? I don't know. This whole thing, it's just, there's nothing tying it all together. This movie isn't about anything other than, you know, getting to these like set pieces and like setting up more movies.
We're making a Vietnam movie, but it's not about Vietnam, really.
Not really. It's not like about any of the ideas connected to Vietnam or American culture at that time or the world at that time or war, you know what, you know, like.
I can kind of appreciate that they're bucking the King Kong formula.
A little bit, yeah.
Because up until now, with the exception of like King Kong Escapes and King Kong Lives,
mm-hmm.
which I don't think the world took very seriously to begin with.
No.
All of the King Kong movies followed a very, very similar trajectory. Well,
yeah, they're all just the same movie. I mean, the remaking.
Yeah.
You know.
But with that comes this story that's very monster-centric,
mm-hmm.
you know, in the right places. You know, the first half of all those movies usually does center pretty heavily around the characters, but they do a great job of kind of wrapping themselves around King Kong mm-hmm. as like some central, you know, object
in the
story. And so while this like manages to get away from the typical, like, I mean, they still go to an island, but it's definitely not, you know, it's not doing exactly what those previous three movies did. You know, it's just like we're going to an island and King Kong is there, and that's where the similarities end.
Yeah, pretty much.
So they're just also kind of getting rid of that inherent structure that works,
mm-hmm.
you know? And so I come away thinking like King Kong really doesn't feel like, I mean, for a movie that's supposed to establish King Kong as a part of an ongoing universe, it feels strange. I don't know. It's like doing Iron Man and Iron Man shows up three times during the movie.
It's just
the whole movie takes, it's about like doctors or something, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
That's the, which, you know, obviously we're not going to follow King Kong around like he's a person.
Yeah.
But he just doesn't feel, it just feels like he goes away so much. And when it's all taking place on this island that's like, you know, it's big, but also, you know, everything's in pretty close proximity to everything else.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
It just feels so strange how much he's absent.
Yeah, yeah. And it isn't like, you know, the ideal thing, I guess, would be like you can feel his presence when he's gone and that he matters to the story.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the rest of the time, like, oh, we got to get here before he... We can't go here because he is there, you know, something, mm-hmm. you know, but yeah, he just kind of doesn't matter. He's another creature on this island.
They want him to really matter. They're doing all this like story bullshit with like the natives and these drawings and stuff, mm-hmm. these cave paintings.
That's one of the most creative things the movie does is like those paintings that are made out of a bunch of little standing rocks or whatever. Mm-hmm. And then the costume design for the natives is very different. Mm-hmm. From what they've done. I don't know. I just appreciate that. It's like, oh, cool. You did something different with the natives. I appreciate that. You know.
Yeah, yeah. That's how I come away feeling about it.
Yeah.
Honestly, the coolest thing or the most effective thing this movie does is that scene with the spider that has bamboo legs.
I was just thinking about that. Yeah, that's probably like the most like, you know, like creatures.
Yeah, but I mean like in terms of I think what they were thinking, whoever came up with that,
mm-hmm.
you know, whichever writer added that, or if it was the director who insisted that be added from their brain to the screen, I think that translated probably the best.
Yeah.
I like the idea of doing a modern King Kong movie where it's not just dinosaurs on an island. It's like kind of clever visual things.
Yeah.
You know, the stick bug that's a log, it's like, okay.
Yeah,
that's almost, you know.
Mm-hmm. Those big buffaloes.
The big buffalo there is all right. But I really like the spider thing with bamboo
spider's
legs.
Spider's cool, yeah. That's pretty.
I mean.
I do like that.
Outside of, like, you know, once they, like, start shooting at it, it gets a little generic. But it is, for a brief moment, you know, it becomes like, whoa, you know.
Yeah.
When they pan the camera and they show that guy who's been impaled.
Yeah.
And then they look up and there's the silhouette. That's good.
Yeah,
that's really
it's very strong.
Yeah,
it's very strong. Yeah, that's probably the best sequence. This thing, it's weird because it's like you'd think like, oh, it's really shitty characters, this paper thin story, you know, there's no driving force, but you think like, okay, you know, which the action sequences, at least with King Kong, is like, damn, he looked kind of real every now and then.
He looks good, yeah.
He, you know,
the nice folks over at Industrial Light and Magic.
They did a great job on
him. They did a fine job.
He looks almost real every now and then. His hand looked good.
Yeah, I don't know how they did that shit with his hand.
Yeah.
His hand looks like it's really there.
I guess maybe they did a big, a giant.
I don't know. I really don't know. It wouldn't surprise me if it was just a green screen. And they just did. It looks good.
Yeah.
There are some, the scene with the Aurora Borealis.
Yeah.
At this time of day. At this.
Yeah.
But yeah, that shit looks like ass.
That's pretty bad. That's like a thing where it's like, I guess they got probably a green screen, right?
Maybe even a blue screen.
Maybe even. And it just does not correlate. It really sticks out. They've got like blue light. It almost looks like day for night or something. It's like that kind of bluish light, but it's not. I don't think it's day for night, but on everybody. And then Samuel Jackson is like looking into a fire, and just the orange and the blue, it's just all like, I don't, it looks super fake and like not in like, oh, it's like really highly stylized or something. It's like, no, that just like, it looks like it didn't work out.
Yeah, my main problem is just when they show characters against a sky, they have these like fuzzy edges around them.
Yeah.
Which I rewatched the Lord of the Rings trilogy recently, and that's a problem that those VFX suffer
Frodo.
From a lot.
Elrond fucking in that vision to Frodo.
Yeah, that one, I think they just fucking cropped him.
Yeah,
that's or so masked funny. Him, I mean. But, you know, people have these like fuzzy little edges around them,
yeah.
You know, when the green screen's like really trying to separate that hair from the green behind it, and it's like really, you know,
yeah,
they're feathering the edge or whatever. Normally it looks okay in this movie. I mean, like I imagine they were using green screen a lot.
Yeah.
And most of the time it looks good. But just during that sequence when they're putting Aurora Borealis or whatever the fuck you want to call it in the sky, the Northern Lights,
mm-hmm.
it looks terrible.
It looks really rough. Yeah, it's like the feathered edges, and like I think just the lighting is kind of off for it too.
They do similar stuff, I feel like, in Annihilation.
Yeah.
Like they do very similar kind of crazy things with color and like environments that they manage to like pull off really well with like actually, you know, the physical lighting that they're using on the actors.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's not exactly like this, but
I know what you mean. It's
comparable.
Yeah, yeah, I'd say.
And it's just weird seeing something that's like so big and like they're going so hard at that style and for the most part getting away with it.
Yeah, which they fucking better with this money. And
that one sequence is like, why does this look like it was shot in 2001?
Yeah, it doesn't.
Why?
It's really... For a movie that's like so, you'd think like, okay, it's all these like loosely strung together set pieces for the most part.
Yes.
And you'd think like, okay, well, at least the set pieces, which like I said, they do look good, you know, in terms of, you know, visual effects look where they should, I guess, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But a lot of people worked really hard on it. You know, that's what I try to remind myself when I see stuff like this. But, you know, like even the action sequences, it's a culmination of things, but more than anything, it's like the editing and like, you know, exactly what's going on in terms of like the logic of the story is so, it's like, there's not even anything to like tie. It's like, here's what's important about this, mm-hmm. you know, in just like a literal sense. It's like, here's whose life is at stake. Here's what's in danger, you know, or even, yeah, it's like, where's the balance of power?
Yeah.
In a given thing is not there. It's like really rough, and these action sequences just end up as like noise.
Yeah.
The final one, and like all instances of action tend to end up like kind of funny.
Yeah.
When that scientist gets snatched up by a bunch of pterodactyls who like up until then have like not attacked people.
Yeah.
and he gets like his arm ripped off, and it's just like, first of all, it's like when half the time when people die, it's like, why the fuck did that happen?
Uh-huh.
Like, cause this does not feel like a movie. I don't know if this is what they're going for, but it does not feel like a movie where it's like anybody could die at any moment.
Right.
You know, it shouldn't. It's to me, it shouldn't. It, or not exactly like that, you know, where it's just like, ooh, who could go? You know,
yeah,
it's,
yeah.
It's a fucking monster movie. Like, I don't know. That and, I guess let's just talk about it. The fucking Lieutenant Dan's death that's baffling.
Yeah, I think most people just see that and they're like, oh, whatever. You know, they either think it's funny or they think it's whatever sad. I really don't know what people make of this.
Yeah,
but then they just carry on. And for me, it's so perplexing.
I think
they want it to be funny.
I really
do.
I really don't know.
Yeah. Funny is my best guess. They're playing sad music and...
Yeah, it's like the stock thing where, you know, they're getting chased by the skull, which also just like how much, like it feels like this is like an intense action scene
mm-hmm.
and like time should be dilating and things should be happening quickly and in little bits.
Yeah.
Right. And then they're like showing these like huge tracking shots of them like running.
Yeah.
Like aerial tracking shots. And it's like, that looks like time is passing to me. You know, it reminds me of like Lord of the Rings, you know, when they're running on like ridges of
yeah.
land, you know, it's like, okay, that means they are moving across vast spaces of
yeah,
vast spaces and the time is passing. And they do that and it's like, no, I think it's happening like right now. And this mm-hmm. is like a few minutes right now. But they're doing that like as this guy and it's like, so it's like even hard to understand. It seems like randomly he's like, stopping.
They
you know.
Do not seem to be in imminent danger.
No.
The monster, like, you can't even see the monster until after he's decided he's going to kill himself.
To save
by
everyone.
By holding grenades.
Yeah.
You know, and he's banking on the monster eating him, and then the monster just slaps him with his tail into a mountain, and then he explodes, and they do one of those cheesy, like, digital zooms when he blows up, and... they're still playing sad music and they cut to one of the other soldier guys like weeping. And it's like, what am I supposed to make of? Did you
yeah.
want? Did you want? Are you obviously on the surface? It's sad, right?
Yeah, I guess.
Because it starts with this guy. Yeah, he's sacrificing himself, but then the sacrifice is for nothing because it doesn't even slow the monster down.
Yeah.
But it's funny because the way they shoot it, it's like they have to want this to be funny.
Yeah.
Because it's like, it's, I don't know, I just feel, but then it starts to feel like formulaic with how funny it is. So that's why I feel like they want it to be funny. But then they continue the scene like every business as usual, you know, this is a sad moment and a very intense action scene. And it's like, but that was funny.
Yeah. It's like, and it's funny. Cause it's like, it seems like something that would happen like Tropic Thunder.
Right. You know? Right. Right.
Where it's like, I got to stay behind and blow myself up. You know, it's like very stock,
mm-hmm.
you know, it's just like, you know, and it's like, you expect him to like blow himself, which he does it like, unprompted, which is funny on its own.
Yeah, it happens.
You know, and it's like, it's not like he's like, there's no like, we don't learn anything about him. He's like, I got nothing home to go to or something. You know, all I got is this.
I feel like usually in situations like I feel like something happens very similar in Aliens. Usually a character who does that is like critically injured and that's why they decide to do it. It's like, you know, oh, maybe they could make it back if they really tried, but it's like, you know, no, there's no hope for me. You know, you've got to keep going.
Or it's, you know, I either do this or maybe we all die, you know, but there's nothing, it's just like following them and it doesn't end up like, you know, whatever, we could talk about it for, but yeah, it's like unbelievable. It like, it's genuinely, it's the same humor that comes from, they're not as funny anymore, but a couple years ago, a year or two ago, AI generated stories like AI Dungeon.
Mm-hmm.
It's the same type of funny where it's like, you know, it's setting out to achieve, or it's, you know, it's like, it's not setting out to achieve anything. It's just sort of reorganizing things into this new thing that resemble,
mm-hmm.
you know, what you have requested.
Yeah.
And it's the same type of humor, you know, where it's like, what the fuck? Like, you know, it's just like doing its best to replicate something, but like, you know, it's just
it gets it out of, out of order and
it
makes
goes
it
off the tracks. And it's the same kind of funny. You know, to me, mm-hmm. and it's like, what the fuck? And like, everybody's crying and they're playing the sad music. It's like, I don't know. I wonder if the director was like, yeah, we're going to do this where, you know, anybody dies and it's like kind of funny. And, you know, maybe they tested it or like, you know, a producer saw it and was like, hell fucking no. You know, said like, put sad music on this. Like, this doesn't work. I don't
maybe,
know.
Yeah.
An infinite number of things could have happened, but as it stands in the movie, it's like And there's other deaths like that where it's like, what? John Goodman's death is like, you know, he's like the first character we see after this like prologue, you know, in World War II. And characters like that need to die on beats, you know, or like for some reason or after, like it just happens.
Yeah, he just dies out of nowhere. Yeah. And that's also played to be like funny.
Kind of, yeah.
Like the camera's still like going, I don't, like his body like ragdolls. And
yeah.
Like it's supposed to be like kind of funny or like maybe morbid or something when he dies. And it's just like, but it also it's just like, oh, well, there goes like any tinge of, you know, somebody I cared about or like a storyline that I was like trying to keep track of. Because then, like at the end of the movie, his like assistant character comes out and he's like, what island? You know, in the post-credits scene, And it's, and they're shooting it like, ah, this SOB, you remember him, he's the main character. And it's like, well, not really. He was kind of a side character.
Yeah, I think he got maybe like five pages cumulatively of dialogue.
If that.
Yeah, but, yeah, I don't know.
It's also really funny because in a movie like this, obviously, it seems obvious, but it's about like the early days of Monarch.
Yeah.
And you would want to do Ken Watanabe as a young guy. You would want to do his character as a young guy.
Yeah.
And have him bleed over. No. Instead, they introduce all new characters to then be completely forgotten about in every subsequent movie.
Never show up again.
I remember when we were in the theater, that end credit scene comes on, and there's like, Tom Hiddleston throws that pencil, and for some reason,
it's in slow motion with a boom.
Yeah, when it hits the one-way mirror or whatever, it breaks, and that's just that is in slow motion, which, that's kind of a microcosm of how this movie's directed, is just like unmotivated, like trying to make shit look cool out of nowhere for no reason.
AI generated that. Yeah. And there's that shot where they do like the fucking, they do like the vertigo effect or whatever. They do like a dolly zoom.
Yeah.
Well, like it's just like it's like totally mechanical point where it's just like, I'm going to go do this. You go do this. You know, like he's just giving
and they
orders,
do that
and they do that like as he's doing that, like, and Brie Larson isn't saying anything, she's in the shot too, nothing's changing.
A very obvious camera move, you know, like that's a camera move that draws a lot of attention to itself.
Yeah,
so you would really need to use it when like something, like you said, like something changes or somebody realizes something.
Yeah,
and they just do it unmotivated. Alfred Hitchcock, vertigo effect, ladies and gentlemen.
Well, can we have a round of applause for Albert Hitchcock?
You can tell your penis about it when it's hard, Major Hitchcock.
Yeah, I mean, everything's unmotivated. That pencil really is. It's like, I remember we were working in a movie theater when this was out.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, so you'd be cleaning up during the fucking the post-credits sequence or scene. And so I that would just come on over and over again, and that pencil breaking was always just like, it was always just like, it got funnier and funnier. It's just like, what the fuck is that? Like, anyway, you don't even need to show that break.
The point I was trying to make is I saw that post-credit scene, and after they show the pencil breaking, they show a shadowy figure behind the glass, and I was like, oh shit, it's gonna be Dr. Sarazawa as a young guy. No.
Mm-mm.
Just fucking nobody.
Yeah,
that was nobody ever. And they're giving more time to like Tom Hiddleston and Brie Larson
as if they're gonna like come back or something,
and they fucking don't. And then they watch basically a trailer for King of the Monsters.
Yeah, which like everybody already knew was happening, so it's like, I don't know, it's whatever.
At the time, it was like,
I remember Godzilla being really underwhelmed. I was just like, yeah, I know Godzilla's gonna,
yeah,
you know, I don't know.
Also, just I don't know, by this point, like seeing, you know, like the monsters as like cave drawings was a little, it was beginning to feel a little bit like, all right.
Yeah.
Yeah, fucking right.
Mm-hmm.
Whatever. I don't know.
Yeah.
In 2014, when they were showing those pictures, it was like, oh, cool. Cause I don't feel like that had been done before.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, like, oh, these monsters are like really ancient things and they're like finding evidence that they've been around for a while. And yeah. then this, it's just like, okay, here's King Ghidorah, what he would look like as a cave painting. And here's Mothra as a cave painting. And here's yeah. Rodan as a cave. And it's just like, whatever.
Yeah. It's,
it yeah. loses all meaning. Like, pretty quickly, like this was like, I don't know. They flipped the switch. The I don't give a shit switch.
Yeah, it's just you know, I mean, it's just it's clear, or it doesn't come through if there was anybody who contributed to the aesthetic of 2014. You know, how much of that was Gareth Edwards and how much of it was like producers, and they're like, we're thinking this yeah. kind of an idea for this, you know, but it's obvious that there's no one like guiding it, which you need, you know, everybody talks about that now with, you know, shared universes,
mm-hmm.
Which I hope are fucking almost done or on their way out. Cause it just doesn't fucking work if you're not Marvel, but whatever, we're not going to get into that.
I think they're on their last stand right now, or they're getting ready for their last stand.
Yeah.
I think they're going to make another big push to try to make cinematic universes work, and then I think they're going to die for a while.
Yeah, I mean, it's just, you know, everybody's talked about it already, you know, complaining about, you know, DC movies. Yeah. But, you know, if you don't have a guiding... If you don't have somebody who's like, here's what these movies should look and feel like over all of them, you know, you're going to end up with all these wildly different things. You have like completely different people working on each of them.
Yeah.
Which, you know, you have to. You can't just have, you know, like this massive amount of people, most of which are freelance, all coming back to. But,
I mean, if you're going to get. I mean, you got Gareth Edwards, which Gareth Edwards. I feel like especially, you know, the way we talk about him is like, I feel like we consider him a pretty serious artist in comparison to like some of these other guys that just seem to be like brought on from out of nowhere.
Yeah.
But he was also kind of brought on out of nowhere. Like,
kind of.
They picked him up after Monsters, but yeah, like.
That is a vision to me. Having seen Monsters and then like 20, there's a very obvious.
But they're still
line,
going yeah. out on a limb, you yeah. know, getting this guy who's not done much. And. I feel like, you know, it shouldn't be too hard to get one of those guys to sign on for a 3-picture deal.
Or just to, like, make it, yeah, it really shouldn't. But maybe Gareth Edwards didn't want to. I don't know.
I don't think he did.
Yeah, which is strange.
That's just complete speculation on my part. But I feel like...
it's probably a lot more complicated than anything we could think of.
I don't know. I just get the vibe that, like, you know, he did that and they were like, we're going to do another one. And they're like, so could we do, you know, we're trying to get King Kong worked into this. And he's like, well, I could do that or I could do something else.
Yeah, yeah.
Something else is kind of sounding appealing right now.
Yeah, I could get paid millions of dollars to direct a Star Wars movie. Millions of, he would have gotten for fucking millions for Giant Monster movie too. Whatever.
But. I feel like it shouldn't be too hard to get some consistency.
It shouldn't, you'd think.
That Max Borenstein, I think that's his name, wrote
Or
is credited with writing all of the MonsterVerse movies so far. And I think it was him and one other guy for Godzilla 2014. And it's him and three other guys for Kong Skull Island.
Yeah.
And I don't know about the other ones. We'll find out when we get there. But I don't even know if he was an actual writer or if he's just like credited with writing to be some kind of through line, or like maybe he was giving like story ideas or like broad.
Maybe, you know,
he's when like, you have mention the Hollow Earth, please.
Yeah.
That's Jesus. Where we're headed.
Fucking Hollow Earth. Yeah. This movie just, I mean, it's nothing. It's a hollow shit.
It's a hollow earth in and of itself.
Yes, it is.
Don Fry time?
Yeah, sure. I've been kicked in the head
by a horse a few times. Yeah, I really wanted to like this, and when it first came out, what kept me at arm's length from really loving it was just how big of a departure it was from the previous entry and how much it goes out of its way to like avoid any kind of uniqueness, you know, just for the sake of being like a big generic action thing.
Mm-hmm.
Outside of just putting the MonsterVerse generally on a bad trajectory, in my opinion, I also feel like this squanders a lot of talent.
Yeah.
And a lot of opportunity. And outside of just some things looking nice, there's not much to enjoy here. 2 out of 10, Don Fries.
Yeah, it's just a very bland. It does not stand out that much from any other big, flashy sci-fi drivel at the time.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's interesting as this stuff moves further into the past. It all blends together, you know, this and like, you know, whatever Transformers movie was out at the time.
Rampage.
You know, Rampage.
Feels the
yeah.
same way.
Yeah, it's just all these kind of very, you know, watered down action movies with, yeah, just that aren't very good.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. It's all sort of like, oh, that's kind of something that's in the past now. You know, I mean, it's like not totally, but I feel it start to move off. And it's like this own thing. It's like we're going to stop getting movies that resemble this within the next few years. Not to say that we're not going to get like bad action movies anymore, but it's just certain things about this. The way
something
it's flashy,
equally awful will surface to replace these.
It always does. God knows. You know, I always wonder, you know, it's like, you know, Star Wars is on its way out. Like, it's pretty much already out. Like, there's prominent people saying, like, this sucks. Like, nobody.
I don't know.
I think it's almost done. Same with Marvel is going. I don't mean like right now, you know, like it's done, but you know, within 5 years, I think it's like really going to be out. But my point is, it's like that stuff's going to be gone soon. Like within 5 to 10 years, Star Wars, they're going to stop making stuff or it's going to seriously start ramping down. Same with Marvel and, or it's definitely not going to be the tentpole that it is right now. And I have no idea what's going to replace that.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, I mean, Marvel and Star Wars has like maintained a hegemony on like, you know, blockbuster entertainment for like what? Since like 2007, you know?
Mm-hmm.
What the fuck is going to come next? I just think about it. It's like, you know, something's got to fill that vacuum, you know? Because people are still going to want, like, you know, fun, relatively mindless stuff. Anyways, this is just, I remember at the time, it very much blended in with a bunch of other blockbusters. It was like, whoa, that was like nothing, you know? And like you said, it was a huge departure. And I don't like it very much. But, I mean, it's like really not the worst thing in the world. But it's just such like a null thing.
Yeah.
It's nothing. It's, I guess, 3 out of 10.
Cha-ching.
Yeah. Another one in the bag. Another one in the bank.
Well, here we are on the day of my daughter's wedding.
I can't believe I would come to you with such a request on the day of your daughter's wedding.
You can make some wine about it when your daughter is ugly, Major.
Don't say that.
Ford
She's not
Coppola.
Ugly.